Okay, ready?
Okay, yeah, I'm ready.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Sorry. I was trying to be humble.
No, that's all. Yeah.
Sometimes I forget to be humble.
I don't see how you could. It's ingrained in your soul.
I know. It's a weakness of mine. I forget that I'm humble.
Hmm.
Hello, Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche, and I'm your host, Jay Veen. In this show, my man, James Tapeleg Graylian, and I discuss one big game, some big and old additions to the roster, a big month by the big line, and we show some appreciation for the two big guys running the team. Those topics and a whole bunch more Avs and hockey stuff coming at you in episode number 127 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. Stick around. The AHP is next. Hey, what's going on, Avalanche fans? Welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. He is dancing, and he's James Tapeleg Graylian. And I'm Jay Veen, if you could only see this. And this is your home for almost everything Avalanche. What's up, James?
Having a dance party. How you doing?
Why wouldn't you have a dance party?
I don't know why I wouldn't have a dance party. I'm going to have a dance party because playoffs, baby.
Because you feel like it. Playoffs.
I have playoffs and playoffs.
That's playoff hockey, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Four straight years.
And we're going to get to that.
Yeah, we are. We're going to get to almost everything Avalanche.
Almost everything Avalanche, including possibly playoffs.
Playoffs. Are you kidding me? Playoffs?
What episode is this?
This is episode number 27 of the Avs. It's number 127 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. You're home for almost everything Avalanche, James.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we're going to talk about jersey number 27s.
Yeah, in fact, you're wearing jersey number 27.
Right, I am. Now. I'm wearing Scott Parker's preseason jersey.
Le Sheriff.
From 2008 and 2009. This was just before I think they tried to reassign him to... I think it was Hershey back then, and he was like, no, I'm not going to do that. And then he kind of left and didn't talk to anybody, and they're like, we don't know where Scott Parker is, and then they released him. But this is kind of cool. Here, I
was going to say, is there any damage to this?
There isn't damage. He did get into a fight with Wes Garth, but I forgot his first name. But what they try to do, I don't want to move the mic too much, but you can see behind the shield.
They put a little bit of reinforcement there.
Yeah, it's like elastic. Because what would happen with these edge jerseys is they would get into a fight and they'd rip right down the front, like here. So I actually have one that got ripped. I think, is it a Parker? I can't remember which one it is, but maybe I can't remember. But yeah, they have to reinforce the necks on these things. And then in episode number 129, I'll bust out another Parker and show you a really cool kind of jersey modification that they did with that one, too.
We had a whole lot of those.
Can I name some off the top of my head?
Seriously, you haven't even looked?
I haven't looked. No, I promise. I've been thinking about it because I know we do this, and it's just kind of fun to see who I remember.
Okay.
So 27, Scott Parker, obviously, the Sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
Francois Leroux, okay. Way back in the starter days.
Yep.
Starter jerseys. O.C. Vonnenen. Steve Downey, didn't he wear 27?
He did.
Gravy Train. I think I'm out.
Well, Tyson Jost wore it.
Oh, did he?
He did. 2017, according to our list here.
All right.
Kyle Quincy, Avs legend. Kyle Quincy.
Right. He even lives in Denver. Dang it. Okay.
And this one. Okay. So in Nordiques days, which, you know, I wouldn't expect you.
Yeah.
Paul Stastny, of course. But Ron Hextall.
Hextall wore 27 for the Nordiques. That's
Ron
awesome.
Hextall.
When 27 was like a goalie number or something?
It was his goalie number. He wasn't going to. Yeah.
If you'd like to argue with him, he'll punch you in your mouth.
Oh, yeah.
With his blocker on.
Or in your nose if you're Chris Chelios, because that's what you're going to lead with.
Yeah. I can't make any nose jokes. 27's a good number, though.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's let's see, Andres Martinsson.
Oh, dang, man. I have one of his goal pucks from a preseason game.
Christian Mate. Matt.
Or Matt, if you're nasty.
Matty.
Yep. All right, we're going back in the days a little bit.
A little bit. I mean, there were a lot. There were like, gosh, how many were there? Whole bunch.
There's a bunch of them.
Whole bunch.
It's a popular number for a lot of people.
According to our sources, which is a website that we go to.
Hockey Reference, yes.
20 players.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah. And that's, of course, Avs and or Deeps.
Okay. So one of the more popular. Also, it can be worn by obviously a goaltender, a defenseman, or a forward. So it's going to be popular.
Jay, I want to talk about the last episode because you done screwed up.
Well, you called me by my name, so I know I'm in trouble already.
Jay, Mr. Veen.
Can I talk to you?
We are going to have.
Can we talk?
I believe this is a new section of the show called Erroretta.
It's called my fault. Last time,
where we look at everything that you said wrong as opposed to everything I said wrong, exactly. Because everything I said wrong, we would just.
No, it's
perfect. We have a whole nother show.
No, you're perfect because you're humble like that. No, the show before last, we messed up Pierre Lacroix. Because there's two Pierre Lacroix, but.
That just seems like it should be illegal.
I was listening to the show because I'm humble like that. And I called JT Confer TJ. TJ Tyne and JT Confer. Boom. Jonas Johansson, I'm not quite sure how I said it, but it wasn't correct. And we forgot to mention one of the hottest Avalanche at that time, and it was Jonas Donskoy. But I think we can make up for that because right after our show last time, because when we record a show, things happen.
Things do happen.
Hockey happens.
We had a JT or a JT.
A TJ
we
Confer.
We had a Tyson Jost.
Yeah.
We had TJ. We had a Tyson Jost sighting like right after
we did.
The next game he scored a goal.
We need to figure out like whose switch we're going to flip with this podcast. But Jonas Donskoy is obviously upset that we hadn't mentioned him, knowing that he was putting up some great numbers before then. And then on March 31st, he had a good first period. Can we say
that?
Dude
went off.
He went off to use a term that the kids might say.
Mm-hmm.
He was lit, as they might say. I think the one thing I thought about is that we by design and just by simple time, we don't do a podcast every game or every week or whatever. Mm-hmm. We could have done a whole podcast on this game.
It was a crazy game.
This game had everything.
Absolutely crazy. Yep.
As what's the Saturday Night Live character? I forgot. This game has
Stefan.
Everything. Stefan. Perfect. Thank you.
This game had everything.
It had a
hat trick
in the first period.
Fights, helmets.
So many goals. Helmets flying at people's faces. Yeah.
I'm not going to do any of the other Stefan stuff because that's just going to get you in trouble.
That's classic. I love how he breaks character. It's good stuff.
That's Bill Hader's whole job. Just to break character.
I love it. We could have done a whole show on this. The Avalanche win 9-3 on March 31st. Jonas Donskoy sets a new franchise record. He scores a hat trick in the first 7 minutes and 31 seconds of the first period. Second fastest hat trick in club history. Second fastest hat trick to start. No, this was the fastest hat trick to start a game in Avalanche history. All kinds of stuff there. Let's see what else. The first player to score three goals in one period since Tomas Fleischmann did it in December of 2010. It was bringing back all these good memories and all these fun kind of things, right? Although this year has been fun. So during this 10-game stretch, I think for the next couple of games after that, Donskoy had 9 goals and 6 assists. These are like Rantanen and McKinnon numbers. Mm-hmm. And at that time, he had more goals than Nathan McKinnon. And it was March 31st. It's just crazy. But
I remember when they picked him up that there was... I originally thought that he was going to be, a little more effective than he was when he first started with the Avs, but I was really happy with the signing.
Yeah.
And then he's just fit in really well.
Yeah.
But I think that his work has kind of been a testament to how much finding the right fit with the right people is, you know, and finding your role on a line. Oh, man. Yeah.
It's obvious. It's obvious that Joe Sakic values that. And it's something that comes up a lot whenever a move is made, what they're going to bring to the room and how that's going to impact this team's chemistry, because the chemistry is there. They're not trying to fix something that's broken. They're trying to add on to something that's already good. Great point with Donskoy. Donskoy is definitely that kind of a player. He's a veteran guy. Could come in and do a lot of things. He can play on the first line. He was on the first line power play, but he can also play on the third line as well. And that's when you have guys like that that can be so versatile. Good things happen.
Yeah, and right now he's out on the COVID protocol, and you see the difference in the power play with that. Of course, also right now Mikko Rantanen's out on it, but his absence before Mikko, went out was part of it too. You know, you saw, you're like, oh, okay.
Yep.
Yeah, so, we totally. Can. Yeah. You brought something up that I want to talk about later, but Joe Sakic bringing in the people and trying to fix, put the right people with and who the value. I want to talk about that a little bit later.
Okay. Too. Did you write it down?
No.
It's in your brain.
I'll write it down. You talk, I'll write it.
Okay. That's fair. I can't do both of those things at the same time. It's not what I get paid for here. The Avs overall score 5 goals in 3 minutes and 27 seconds. That's a record for the fastest 5 goals in their franchise's history. That's the 11th fastest 5 goal stretch in NHL history. So we're watching history that night too. The franchise record for the Nordiques, they scored 5 goals in 2 minutes and 42 seconds against the Capitals in 1981. So where's the defense? What do you say as the opposing coach when stuff like guys?
We're gonna need to play a full 60 minutes and maybe even start with the first 20.
That was 2 minutes and 42 seconds. We gave up 5 goals. We need to try something different. Can we switch some things up? So also the Avs and Coyotes score 6 goals in a span of 3 minutes and 27 seconds in the first period. That's the fifth fastest time to score that many goals in NHL history. So it's just goals galore. If you like goals, this was your game for sure. But one of the more entertaining parts of this game was Nathan MacKinnon losing the Lady Bing trophy for this season. the Lady Bing streak has ended at 1.
that was absolutely hilarious. I'm sure that it doesn't need much introduction, but, he wound up with an opposing player's helmet in his hands and he gave it back aggressively. And I don't see any reason why you shouldn't do that.
I absolutely love it.
Give it right back.
Yeah.
Here you go.
He was trying to be polite. I have your helmet. I would like to toss it toward you.
Mm-hmm.
And this was Connor Garland, the same guy who got choke slammed by Gabriel Landeskog earlier in the season. So with Connor Garland, I think that's kind of his game. He likes to make people angry, but I think he's picking on the wrong people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you know, I was thinking about this the other day about skill guys versus guys that are tough to play against and all of that. You know, there, when you have a skill guy that has that kind of size, it can get a little hard to go in and hack, you know, and make the decision that I can't keep up with you, but I'm going to mess you up.
Yeah.
You're going to have a hard time with that with these guys.
Yeah.
And that's kind of fun to watch because after a while, Avs just seem so soft to play against. And obviously Kadri is going to be a target because he has a temper. They're going to try and get goals, or they're going to try and get power plays, because if you mess with Kadri, he may chop back, and it always seems like the retaliation that gets it.
Yep.
So, but it's nice to be able to see like, yeah, I'm going to dance around you. And when that upsets you and you're going to come in and use the only tactic you have against me, I'm going to give it right back. That's really nice to see.
Yeah, most definitely.
There was Forsberg stuff with that, you know, where Forsberg was that skilled guy, but he wasn't afraid to hit back too.
He absolutely wasn't. Yeah, it's good to see a little of that. And I think Mikko Rantanen for a stretch there was playing pretty angry. I think he was tired of some of the things. And I think playing against some of these teams back to back or three or four in a row also does the same thing. You're only seeing another, what, 5 teams during the year, 5, 6, 7 teams, whatever it is, in the Honda West division. But I think some of that leads to even more entertaining stuff, like people handing their helmets back to people. I'm glad he didn't throw it overhand. I think the overhand, the underhand aspect was a little more helpful. Overhand probably would have gotten him a suspension or something.
I think it was absolutely 100% the wrong decision for him to throw it back to him. Because, and right now there are people looking at the,
but we're not complaining. The
pie, their iPod or whatever, looking with big bright eyes, what like, the? Are you an idiot? No, what he should have done was what, since this is episode number 27, he mm-hmm. should have done what Scott Parker did to George Peros's gloves mm-hmm. in a fight when Parker was on the Sharks. And Peros was on the Ducks. And Peros threw his glove at Parker. Parker catches it and then throws it into the stands. If I mean, I'm sure that MacKinnon would have gotten even, you know, $2 right. more of a fine than he did.
Yeah.
Because he was fined like
$5,000. That'll teach him too.
Yeah. That'll I think it was $5,000 and change or something. Yeah. But he should have thrown it in the stands. How hilarious would that have been?
That'd
yeah.
Be awesome.
Okay. Yeah. You can give me this? I don't want it. Here.
It's kind of impressive that he's holding any part of that helmet. And I believe it was by either the chin strap or the earpiece that comes down, and that he was able to be, he still had his glove on at the time too. Like to be that accurate, like points for him. Like if I'm the Department of Player Safety, I'm like, hey, don't do that. But nice. I like what good you shot. Did there. Yeah. That's like when my girls would throw stuff at each other, but it's like a good throw with a good high elbow, like baseball players. It's like, hey, don't throw that block at your sister, but that was a really good throw. I like that. Yeah.
Mixed messages.
Absolutely. What we would do without him. So MacKinnon for chucking his helmet at Connor Garland got a double minor for roughing and a 10-minute misconduct. So
yeah, the game was done at that point. Anyways,
it totally was.
Hit the showers. You did your job.
Yep.
Have a nice day.
Don't get hurt. We're good. So yeah, like I said, I think the Lady Bing is not going to happen this year, but if you ask him and any of the fans, it was totally worth it. So
yeah, that's the wrong trophy to lift anyways.
Yeah. Nobody wants
to. Yeah, it's funny. 14 different Avs players finished with a point. Yeah. How would you like to be like, you know, the four guys who didn't?
And one being Cale Makar. Like,
oh my God.
You think like anytime that anybody who's ever watched Cale Makar play any part of a game, like, oh, they scored 9 goals. Yeah. Cale Makar had seven points. He had 0 points when 14 different Avalanche players have a point.
How much ribbing do you think he took in the talk room after that? Hey, buddy, we were out there.
Hey,
where were you?
Hey, Cale, you want to get involved?
Yeah,
join the party a little bit. You want to pull your
9 goals?
Here? Yeah,
you figured in none of it.
And
were you even playing tonight?
Oh, you're here. I mean, the thing is though, too, and when you've got a healthy MacKinnon and a healthy Makar, even when you're an Avalanche fan, even when you watch them over and over, it's just like, how lucky are we to watch these two guys on our favorite NHL team? Watching Makar do what he does with his feet is just unreal. And we got more examples of that yesterday where he's trying these wraparounds lately and he threw the puck out in front. I think, I don't know whether he was actually trying to pass it or score yesterday, but right on Landy's stick and Landy finishes. But watching these two on our team, I'm sure it makes the opposition say, oh boy. Yeah, literally.
Oh yeah.
Oh boy.
Oh boy.
Oh boy. Yeah.
I absolutely fear the flat salary cap coming up.
I know.
Cause you know, somebody's going, you know,
there's some decisions going to be made.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, who's made a lot of this happen is Nathan MacKinnon. He didn't necessarily, I think, mean to sign for a discount, but when you look at his salary being $6.3 million, I believe, a year, I mean, that's not fair.
Why people lock you up so long if you can.
Yeah, absolutely.
If the cap keeps going up and keeps going up and keeps going up, you get a good deal out of it.
I don't know. Yeah, I try not to think about that too much. It's going to be really hard to afford everybody, and that's not anybody's fault. I mean, these are good problems to have, but I guess I just remind myself, I'm sure you do the same, just to enjoy this while we have it, because it won't always look like this. That's for sure.
No, yeah. There's very few teams that have, haven't gone through the down cycles. Yeah. I mean, you look at how bad, the Red Wings were doing, which, you know, and still doing, which is just absolutely hilarious. Look at the long stretch of Ottawa. Yeah. Look how the three California teams did last season and are doing this season. Yeah. You know, everybody goes through it, and the Avs went through it. There's so few teams that don't hit some kind of dip.
Some of them
have one day it's going to happen in Vegas.
Sure.
You know, but that's, you know, they're new enough that they just haven't had the chance, and they've had to make decisions. Yeah.
And then some of them have a hard time bouncing back. And that's what, I guess, what makes me appreciate being an Avalanche fan, and the fact that there's been, you know, one of the leanest years in NHL history. You know, what was that, 5 years ago? Mm-hmm. And to watch them bounce back the way they have, and watch the culture keep going. So a lot of credit to be given to Joe Sakic and a lot of people, but yeah, I still do appreciate it. It's easier to do that when things are going well, but yeah, there was a time where it was a little bit harder to make podcasts, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, which is crazy to say, considering how few podcasts we make these days.
Yeah, but still, it's a little easier to talk about this year's team than it was back then. Yeah, but speaking of guys like that, the big line rolls on. March was a huge month for Mikko Rantanen. He had 25 points, the second biggest total in a month in Avs history. Joe Sakic had one more point in March of 2000. Landeskog was second in the league with 24 points, and Nathan MacKinnon was embarrassing in a slouch with only 5 goals and 15 assists and 20 points. But that was also the busiest month in Avalanche history.
Wow.
Yeah, that line, I know people talk about the line and how good they are, but when they stay healthy, I guess you just kind of get used to watching how good they are. And it's just, I don't know. It's hard to get used to, but man, it's fun to watch. I know that.
Oh, wait. And the nice thing also, of course, is that if it weren't for the secondary scoring that finally got it together, that line would be broken up because they want to spread things out. And now, because you have a third line that can score, you have a fourth line that scores, you have a second line that occasionally scores. Come on, guys.
Well,
you know, that makes a huge difference. Yep. And you're able to put those guys together.
You have a defense that's playing strong. Devon Taves has been a huge pickup, playing big minutes. Samuel Girard continues to play strong. Not the best, most solid defenseman, but doesn't take a lot of penalties. He's in the way just enough. I don't know. It's all coming together, which is fun to watch. Those three guys had 69 points in March, so that's nice. Yeah. Like I said, busiest month in Avalanche history, and the Avalanche earn at least one point in every single game. They go an entire month without losing in regulation. So sometimes it makes me wonder when people get upset when they lose like they did yesterday against the Blues, and it's like, well, they should have done this. It's like we've watched four regulation losses in well over half the season right now, and it's good.
I think it was until yesterday I saw somebody said that the Avs have the same amount of regulation losses as Matt Duchene has points.
Damn.
It was 9. I think they're up to 10 now.
It's up to 10. Oh, yeah, I hadn't seen that, but just saying.
Just saying.
I just want to put this out into the space there. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the Avalanche right now, 45 games, are 31, 10, and 4. They are right now 4 points behind Vegas. They've clinched their playoff spot. Vegas has clinched their spot, and Minnesota has clinched their spot.
I saw that the Wild are only a point behind the Avs. The Avs have a couple games in hand, but I was like, "Whoa, what's going on there?"
Yeah, that's been really surprising.
Yeah,
they came out so poorly.
They did.
Their home record is 17-4-0.
Okay,
the Wild. The Avs are 18-4-2.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're. Avs are just terrible on the road, being 13-6-2.
What is this? Let's get it together, people.
But yeah, that's, I mean, you know, and it's the battle for that fourth spot is all that's open. And it's basically between Arizona and St. Louis right now.
Yeah.
And St. Louis has 3 games in hand.
Yeah.
On Arizona.
What a strange year. Everything's just so weird. And you know, on top of everything else, I don't know.
And the Avs have had, we're gonna talk about it down the road, but I mean, 2 COVID shutdowns so far. And that's been pretty bad. And it's bad enough when you see what happened with Vancouver.
Yeah.
And, you know, how that spread and how bad that spread. You don't know how these guys are going to come back.
Yep.
Are they still going to be sick? Are they still going? Are they going to have, you know, longer term injuries, longer term effects from it?
Yeah.
That's a scary part of it.
Yeah, it obviously affects different people different ways. I'm sure we've all in our lives seen different examples of that. Yeah, it's pretty, Yeah, it's hard to figure out.
So as much as it sucks to lose a few games,
yeah,
you know, it's still the human factor, obviously.
Yeah. I wonder too. I wonder because of the first shutdown, the Avs go an entire month, maybe a little bit more, without more than a day between games or back to back games. I wonder if that week off was good for them one way or another. I mean, I guess you look for those silver linings, but it's a few extra games where you don't have to play with Philip Grubauer, and it allows the team to step away when they literally haven't been able to practice. It's you know, you either play in a game or you have, you know, a quick skate around, and you're trying to rest these guys. So again, mm-hmm. what a weird year. We'll talk more about about that second shutdown as well.
Okay.
Speaking of Philip Grubauer, 12 wins in a single month. He ties Sergei Bobrovsky.
Bobrovsky!
Jimmy Howard, Ray Emery, and Bernie Parent. And he was the star of the month for March for the Honda West Division, and well-deserved.
Jimmy Howard retired, didn't he?
I believe he did,
retired this year.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
But he played well at one point, which is always good to know, right? I just wanted to say Bobrovsky, really.
Bobrovsky!
And I knew you'd appreciate that as well.
Well, and poor, you know, Ray Emery no longer with us.
No. Yes. Rest in peace. Yeah, but a great month for Philip Grubauer. I think when he was announced that he was the Avalanche that was on the protocol, the Avs had already made a move for a goalie. We'll talk about that here in a second. But yeah, I think that really forced Joe Sakic's hand and really kind of verified the move that he had made before that in getting Devan Dubnyk, which was a complicated move. There were names such as Rob Ray brought up. Rob Ray? No. Todd May. Who played for the Canucks?
Oh, Bertuzzi?
No, the other one. Brad May.
Brad May.
Man, yeah. I'm mentioning all these hockey players, but
you're saying that. I was just thinking to myself, is he talking
about not Bertuzzi?
Because we talked about, Brad May is my number one. Wish he wasn't an Av that played for the Avs guy.
His name came up a lot though with the Dubnyk move.
But I didn't see it as quite that much, you know, but yeah, no, I remember, I think my text to you was, pretty soon they're going to have Darren McCarty announced as an assistant coach for the Avs the way that this is going.
Totally.
There's real hockey hate. Like if the Avs had brought in like Bertuzzi, they had like brought in at some point, Chris Draper,
I'm trying to figure out who else would be on that list. So
who would be,
May and Bertuzzi, obviously.
Yep. McCarty, in the day, and Draper. The day, and you know, obviously, you know, it would never have happened, but your Yzerman or things like
and
that.
Any Red Wing, basically. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Except for
Marty Brodeur.
Who?
Marty Brodeur would have been on that list for me because of the legacy of Patrick Waugh. That's true. Don't want to mess with that. And the thing is, like, there's utilitarian guys who, if you're plugging them in, you know that this is, you're plugging them in because they have that role to play,
right?
Especially like the tough guys. It's not that big of a deal, but like this, and that's kind of how this felt a little bit to me, a little less of, it was more that it was the Wild, and you know,
Matt Cook could go on that list. He could go he could go on a ton of lists, actually. A
lot of lists. If he were a Bruin, can you imagine?
Exactly.
Oh, how tone deaf that would be.
Yeah. Speaking of the Wild, yeah, that's a name that popped into my head. I'm sure other people have some ideas as well, but I think, Dubnyk was kind of on that list though. I mean, I think just because of some of the battles, the playoff battles as well. The Wild. But
it was, I mean, like that was also like, I guess he and Landeskog texted right away. And, you know, frankly, for that one, if I didn't feel like I had enough of a fight in that game, you know, and so when he, if those guys hugged it out,
sure,
then I'm fine with it.
Good enough.
Me hugging it out though is kind of, you know, me, I was like, all right.
I'm going to go ahead and pass on that hug.
Yeah. But like Brad May, I was just like, I don't care. I don't want this guy on the team.
Exactly.
You know, oh, he can help you win a cup. Oh,
so?
Oh really? Can he?
He can do I'm not so sure
about that. This one, yeah, this sure. plugs a needed hole.
Sure.
So the question then is, what happens to Francois?
Well,
I mean, he's out for the year, but how long is Dubnyk on the books?
Dang, I actually heard about Francois. So I think it's hips. They had not said really? Anything about his injuries, and I thought maybe he blew out a knee or something, but I think he had surgery on both hips. They were just so bad that he couldn't make it work. So I think he tried to rehab through the offseason, and then he tried to, you know, get going with things, and nothing was improving. So they just said, we have to do surgery. So we finally heard a little bit more about his injury. Speaking of injuries, like Eric Johnson, I don't think anybody can doubt that it's a concussion. And I think Jared Bednar has said, don't expect him back at all. So both he and Francois are on the long-term IR, which provides some cap relief, which makes the Avs able to make some of the moves that they did, mm-hmm. that kind of second week in April. So,
And Dubnyk and Grubauer are yes. both, they're signed for this season, and then that's it.
Yep. And actually all the moves that they made. So Patrick Nemeth was on April 9th, from Detroit for a fourth round pick next year in next year's draft. Jonas Johansson plays really well against the Ducks, and everybody was feeling good about that and be like, yay, we finally have a backup goaltender. And then the Avs acquired Devin Dubnyk from the Sharks for Greg Patterson and a fifth round pick in this year's draft. Yeah, that was interesting. I think that Sackett came out and said, which I think he had to, was that our plan was to get another goaltender no matter what was going on. But it was an interesting message sent, I'm sure, Jonas Johansson after his first career shutout against the Ducks. And he played two straight games against the Ducks and only gave up one goal overall. And then they're like, here, we got this other guy and he's going to play above you. But I don't know. That was an interesting move. But I'm glad it happened.
If you have one game doesn't make your career, mm-hmm. and two games against one opponent where, you know, yeah. they didn't solve you. Well, you know, other yeah. people solved you pretty fast on a few other games. And, you know, if you were looking at making a run for the Stanley Cup and you see what's going on yeah. across the league, whether it's COVID shutdowns or injuries or whatnot.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I don't think you have the luxury of saying I was wronged. He wasn't wronged at all. It was just what it was.
Well, I think the Avs, I think people were bringing up last season where both Grubauer and Francois go down and then you're down to your third goaltender and that's pretty much all you have left. So Hutchinson yeah. came in and did the best he could. But I think Sakic wants to make sure if he can to make sure that doesn't happen again.
If you're going all in on a cup run,
yeah.
then this is, yeah.
Well, and I don't think Sakic has come right out and said that because no GM ever would. But I think he's saying that in hockey terms as best he can. He's like, look, we have a good thing going. We got a good chance to go for it this year. And this is kind of what we're going to do. So, mm-hmm. which is obvious. So that's good. But yeah, I think there were some people just a little bit confused after Johansson had played so well, but it totally made sense once everybody started to think about it a little bit more. And also yeah. old, you know, Nemeth, the former Avalanche, and also the Avalanche on April 12th, bring back Carl Soderberg from the Blackhawks for two minor leaguers.
I thought that was really interesting. I was wondering if that was more in response to Matt Calvert.
Could be. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Calvert's another one. You basically have three guys on the long-term IR that makes it kind of tough. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. So both Soderberg and Nemeth are back. Imagine, you know, your team moving you away, and that's got to be tough when you either get traded or signed with a different team. And then they continue to you know, have a lot of success and things like that. And Nemeth is kind of stuck in Detroit and not doing well. And all of a sudden you're back with the Avs who are right in the mix of things. So, probably says a lot about Nemeth's and Soderberg's kind of professionalism through this whole thing and knowing that they'd be a good addition to this. So I guess you never know. I think there's a lot of fans out there that think that these guys kind of, you know, once they're out of it, they don't care anymore and they're playing for draft picks and things like that. And you never know when you might get moved, especially to a team that knows you pretty well. And, you know, two pretty good examples between Nemeth and Soderberg for that.
And, you know, two examples of people who probably wouldn't be back in that same vein would be Duchesne and O'Reilly.
Totally.
You know, there's, I think O'Reilly probably would have a better chance.
Yep.
But, you know, the way that you walk out the door can say a lot.
Yep.
And the way that you are afterwards, you know, you're working these days. If you're the way the trades happen, the way that things happen, you either are working for your team or you could consider it that you're working for the NHL.
Yep.
You know, and if you're working for the NHL, then you're going to try and be available to move where you need to go when it's time to go.
So interesting. So I wonder how those calls went, but I know that, you know, it's got to be good to be back and good to think a team knows enough about you and to know that they want you back, you know, mm-hmm. with who you are as a person and who you are as a player. So.
And just, you know, most of everything that happened, the Avs didn't lose a player, mm-mm. you know, an actual NHL player.
Yeah.
It definitely says all in now. Looking at the big board, you know, of how long the guys are signed for. There's a lot of UFAs coming up,
yep.
You know, but not, you know, not as many on the defense as you'd worry about things like that. So there's a lot of potential here still. And then this really says it's a cup run right now.
Most definitely. Sakic has also mentioned kind of like what we've talked about for a long time and that this team's going to look different next year, just for the simple fact of contracts and money. Nemeth, Dubnyk, and Soderberg are all free agents at the end of this year. But Sakic has said he likes this team and he wants to put as much that he can into this team to see how far they can go because they have something special, just like you've been saying. But yeah, I don't want to think about how different this team might look in the future, but it's going to, and we'll be here to talk about it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, even Landeskog is a UFA next year, which means he's going to get a raise. You know he's going to get a raise, yep. So you got to be ready for that.
There was a rumor that they were talking at the beginning of the season about extensions, and I think that at some point, if they're not close enough in the numbers and just can't make it happen, that they just put that aside and say, you do what you need to for this year and go for it. But I don't want to see him play anywhere else, but I'm also not the one who's in charge of money. So that could be a very interesting offseason. I hope it's not too interesting because I think we all like the way this team looks and functions right now. Even with the injuries, even with Calvert and Frantzos and EJ out, they're a lot of fun to watch.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Totally.
And, you know, I think I wanted to talk a little bit about this because, you know, we talked a little about the bad years. And that was right when Bednar came in on a bad, you know, just got a bad deal coming right
Altitude
in the door.
Was talking about that the other night. Yeah.
And then, and we were talking about, Joe Sakic and the moves he made and putting people together. And when you have a GM that does that and then a coach that utilizes that, I mean, how lucky is it? How good is it to have Bednar behind the bench? I keep thinking one of these days, because that's what happens with coaches, he's probably going to get fired someday. It's just hard to imagine right now, you know, I mean, the Avs are doing really well, but, even, you know, throughout it all, he seems like a guy that you want on your side.
I think that chemistry between the GM and the coach, mm-hmm. That means a lot as well. And I know those relationships probably are pretty dynamic at points. You have some big egos, a lot of money involved, things like that.
Oh, huge, yeah.
Yeah, big time stuff. But I think from the very beginning, from what we know as fans, is that Joe Sakic hired Jared Bednar and said, this is my guy. And I'm going to stick with this guy. And I think that trust comes through and bleeds all the way down to how this team functions. And I think that chemistry between Joe Sakic and Jared Bednar has led to some really, I think, fun things, some exciting things that we're really fortunate to watch as fans. Because you talk about John Tortorella in Columbus and how things are flipped upside down so often. And, you know, move one of your best players because they don't get along. And then you got another one that you trade for from Winnipeg and it looks like he's struggling right now too. And it's just like, you know, a guy like Patrick Laine, it's kind of like, I don't know the ins and outs, but it seems like the type of guy that you just kind of need to stay out of his way and let him do his thing because he's that talented. But Tortorella is not that kind of a coach and you can see where it goes. It just leads to a bunch of drama instead of worrying about hockey. And most franchises can't afford to have that at all.
And to me, with the John Tortorella situation is that, you're in a business. I mean, hockey is a business. It's a big business. So if you're the only game in town, like in Columbus, then you should probably try and have good relations with the city, you know, especially when you're not a big hockey market. If they were in Cleveland, if they were in Cincinnati, you know, where the other big sports are, that would be something.
Yep.
But when you have that kind of relationship with the media, as he does, and you know, all the arguing, all the yelling, all the problems, and you have a GM that could, or an owner that could say, hey, get it together. You know, this is a business and you're hurting the business in this way. Whether it's bringing in guys and benching them, whether it's talking with the media, whether, you know, whatever it is. And we don't have that issue here. Like, Jared Bednar likes Joe Sakic so much, he adopted his haircut. I mean, come on.
Hello.
You know?
It's like, hey, friend, let's go get our haircut.
He went from flat top to the Sakic locks. I mean, come on.
I've thought that same thing too.
But it is really nice that, I mean, it's, you want to talk about things that you just can't imagine on the Avalanche. Yeah. And, you know, those players and the like, but I can't imagine Tortorella. I couldn't imagine Bruce Boudreau.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine Mike Babcock.
Sure.
I couldn't imagine it. And, well, and especially now, considering that things are going well, and you got a guy who is level-headed, who, you know, he's demanding, but he's not demanding in the "you will give me this" kind of way.
I think we saw this dynamic with Patrick Waugh, it eventually led to kind of that ugly breakup where you've got two, I wouldn't say two large egos, but between Sakic and Waugh and their teammates, and I'm sure they get along fine. But when you don't have that chemistry, it leads to some ugly stuff eventually.
Mm-hmm.
It does. I don't think it necessarily benefits a team to not have that chemistry between your GM and the coach. And I don't think there's a whole lot of good that can come out of it. It's just more of a distraction waiting to happen, or kind of like some ugliness that led to kind of like what we saw with Patrick Waugh, where, you know, just a little bit before camp starts, I'm going to leave. Yeah, it's just, and then the team reels for a couple years after that for obvious reasons. It's just good to have this and good to see it. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I was talking with James as well before we started recording for the show, and I'm watching the 2019 Quest for the Cup and watching like a guy like Rod Brind'Amour. And Brind'Amour is like, this dude is like nuts. Like I'm not gonna, you know, just like a player, just, you can see why he was such a leader on the ice. But he's just kind of crazy enough where you need to stay probably 3-4 steps back from him. Mm-hmm. He doesn't go crazy. He's very level headed, but he's very like it seems like he could snap at any moment, and it seems like it does Carolina pretty well, and you can see why things are going so well. But the difference between his style and Jared Bednar's style was just something that I was thinking of, and it made me laugh because you know, if you've been around somebody like Rod Brind'Amour, you're like, yeah, he's cool and he's got some good energy, and yeah, I can see why people follow him. But again, at any point he might tear my head off. So I'm just going to go ahead and play it safe in between those two times. So
I'm reminded of, what is it, Jim Playfair, who ripped off his jacket ripped off his shirt and tie when he was as a coach in Abbotsford.
Exactly. Some of your best coaches are the ones that are just, you know, a step away from absolutely losing it at all times.
Yeah.
Just so you're making sure you're on your toes at all times.
You love a coach that'll go to bat for you in that way, and yet at the same time, you hate to play for a guy where it's like, okay, but that could be me on the other side of that. Exactly. And I don't want that.
But some of that is part of their appeal. So it's just funny. But yeah, there's some locker room footage of both Bednar and Brind'Amour, two very different styles. But you can see why they're kind of polarizing in their own ways.
Yeah. It was HBO had that series on when they were going to doing the outdoor games and stuff, and Bruce Boudreau when he was with the Capitals, and like every other word was F, you know, and he even said that his mom was like,
you need to tone it down.
Yeah, a little less maybe. Maybe just a little less.
Take about 20% off of that.
Yeah.
All right. So speaking of Philip Grubauer and COVID and everything, we just came off, as all of you are aware of second COVID shutdown. Philip Grubauer was diagnosed on April 14th. Yanis Donskoy was diagnosed on the 16th. The thing about this is they thought Donskoy's was side effects from them getting the vaccination. I think after Grubauer was diagnosed, they decided to move forward with getting the team vaccinated. And they were trying to figure out whether Donskoy actually had it, I think, at the point, or whether there were side effects from getting it. Because those of us that have gotten our shots, and those of us that I've heard the stories, just like the actual COVID, the shots affect different people different ways. So they weren't sure about Donskoy until he actually tested positive. So that was interesting. And then Mikko Rantanen was placed on the list on April 20th. He has never tested positive, but it's more of a contact tracing from what they've said, and the league won't let him play until he clears that and tests negative the whole time. So the Avs were shut down for 8 more days. And the NHL, I think, did the right thing, obviously, because they literally ran out of days, and they extended the season, I think, for their division only for another week. So just, again, more weirdness. I don't know.
Well, considering what happened in Vancouver,
yeah,
and how bad that went, the 21 people with it, including the head coach, who I guess it was pretty bad.
Yeah.
And then the league tried to get them up and running a little early, and players spoke up. And apparently that was pretty shocking to the NHL and the NHLPA. Yeah. I think that both organizations thought they were getting a good read on how people felt, right, and they weren't.
Did they get themselves another game, or was it, because I know it was the first game that they were supposed to be back that they postponed. Did they postpone the second game after that too, or did the extra couple days?
I think it was just a couple of days.
I can't remember.
I think it probably should have been another game, but yeah. They're trying to get the schedule to the point where they get it all to wrap up at a similar time.
Right.
At that point, though, unless there's a miracle that happens, the Canucks are out.
Yeah.
You know, they're just going to hand points to other people. They actually came back and played pretty well, but that can be hard to sustain as well.
It's just crazy.
Yeah. And considering how bad it got, it's hard to say this is, what the exact right thing was to do, other than, take your time. So when the Avs come, the next COVID shutdowns after that are going to be a little more stringent, a little more strict, and that's fine.
Yeah. I had heard varying reports, as I think some of the Canucks came back and they said it wasn't quite as bad as some of the press had reported, but that's neither here nor there sometimes too. Enough people had it to where they had to shut down everything for an extended amount of time. It's just such,
and it was one of the variants, so it was, totally, it was a little more easy to,
sure,
to transmit.
Yeah, and it's just, what a strange year. Second COVID shutdown for the Avs. Has any other team had 2 COVID shutdowns? I don't think.
Buffalo?
Did they have 2 as well?
I believe they did.
Okay, yeah.
And maybe New Jersey, but I'm pretty sure Buffalo.
It just throws the schedule off so badly. And again, it's unlike any other year. But maybe that's good. Maybe there's some good things that come out of this with a team like the Avalanche, who have some depth, have some momentum, and have the talent that they have, where time off would actually not be a good thing. Where them going out and just keeping things rolling, that's good. But who the heck knows? Such a weird season.
Yeah.
So there's that. Let's see what else. Yeah, like you had mentioned as well, Grubauer came off the list 2 days ago from when we're recording this. But he, like you said, he has to pass fitness testing, cardiac stuff, to make sure that he's healthy enough to return to the ice. So generally, I think players can come off within a week or 10 days, but they have to do some testing in order to be okay to make sure they're okay to return to the ice. So it's usually about 2 weeks.
Yeah. So we'll see. You know what I'm excited about?
What's that?
Playoffs.
4 straight years now. The cool thing, I was thinking about this and I wanted to talk to you about it. They made the playoffs, and I think in the past this has been a very big deal, and it should be something that's celebrated. But this team it's not good enough for this team anymore. The last 3 years they haven't made to the Western Conference Finals in the last 3 years. They've lost the last 2 game 7s to get there. They have bigger and better things on their mind. And I think this is a good thing. I think it's a really good thing.
Yeah. And they've lost them in kind of clumsy, what just happened ways, yep, especially the offside, from 2 years ago. Last year, I just remember each year when they would go out as early as they did, and second round doesn't seem that early, but for a team like this, it does. I just keep remembering the looks on McKinnon's face when he was just like, what the heck just happened? Yeah. Why did that just happen?
It can disappear pretty quickly. And I think this team knows that. They remember that. It's been, it's very fresh on their minds. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I would like to say it's cup or bust. I don't think you can necessarily say that. I think they can have a really good year without winning the cup, but I can definitely say without a doubt that, making the playoffs is the first step in some big steps that they would like to make happen. And that's what their focus is on. It's not like, well, this is good experience. You know how some teams make the playoffs. It's good experience. They can build for the future. Those days are now over.
I thought that with, what's their butt? Columbus? Mm-hmm. Nah, hadn't happened. They've won, one round of, if the Senators made it, except they don't, they systematically seem to shoot themselves in the foot. I actually thought that the Sharks not making it for a year would be really good for them.
Yeah.
Because they would actually start to take it seriously again. Nope. It just is what it is. You either make it or you don't. And building on that, I mean, I feel like you can, it's all about how you take it coming out. And I don't know that, I think that that just simply making it is more important these days than anything else.
And playing well at the right time. Division championships might help, whatever. It's the matchup going into that first round. There's all kinds of different factors. So getting in is the key. And they were the second team to clinch behind Vegas. And Minnesota has clinched since then. But it's the first step in many. And you talk to any of them, they're not satisfied with making the playoffs. They're probably not going to be satisfied with much less than a cup. And I think they're using that as motivation for sure. And that's a nice place to be. It's I can think of worse places. That's for sure.
Well, here's the weird part about the league right now and how tough this division is. And maybe it also speaks to just how bad the California teams are right
now.
Could be. There are three teams in the West that have clinched the playoffs. Mm-hmm. No other division has anybody who has clinched the playoffs.
Isn't that crazy?
Not even Toronto, who was, you know, the darlings. They've hit some tough streaks. The Caps are top of the East. I keep having to look past the branding of what these divisions are.
No kidding. That's why I wanted to say the Honda West division earlier.
Yeah, the Discover Central. And unless that I'm not doing it because if they're not paying me, I ain't doing it.
That's right.
They're paying somebody else. even Carolina is at the top of the Central right now, mm-hmm. and they haven't clinched. And that's with Detroit and Columbus both just giving away points like they're Easters, Easter bunnies.
Isn't that interesting?
I mean, here's Columbus is 1-8-1 in their last 10, and still no one in the Central has clinched. That'll change any day now.
Exactly.
So it's how tough is this going to be with the matchup? Like we're looking at maybe, you're probably playing either St. Louis, Minnesota, or Vegas, and maybe Arizona. I'd love to see Arizona only because that seems easier.
Yeah.
But Vegas, Minnesota, and St. Louis are all good teams right now. That's going to be tough.
I think the numbers that the Avalanche are putting up are, I wouldn't say they're deceptive, but you have to think about it as a whole. And I've heard some conversations that this is the best Avalanche team that we've ever watched as Avalanche fans. I mean, it could be, sure, but we're also only measuring it against the teams that they've played this year, which is, five, six. How many teams?
Eight total, so they're playing against seven
other teams. Yeah. So it's hard to say that. And it might be true, but it's really hard to say that with the shutdowns, with the schedule, the way it looks, everything is just so weird. I'm not complaining about it, but it's very different than any other year besides last year than we've ever seen. So that's not saying that we'd obviously wouldn't like to watch this team do huge things in the playoffs, but hopefully it's to their advantage. We'll see.
Absolutely. It's weird because the way that they had to draw these divisions up as well. I mean, if Seattle were in, say we wouldn't be playing St. Louis. That's really weird.
That's so strange.
Yeah. And the Central there's some serious gerrymandering going on there just to make that work.
Good call. I like it.
Tampa to Detroit. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you're the Central. Have a nice day.
No kidding. Yeah, I just keep saying it. It's weird. The whole thing's weird. And I think everybody would agree with that.
It is a wild ride.
It's crazy. So, all right. Well, I think that's pretty much almost everything Avalanche.
I think it is. I'm ready for the next round of wackiness.
Maybe that's just what they should call it.
Round of wackiness?
Yeah, they should brand that. I think that would be awesome.
Party City Wackiness Division.
Are you ready for wackiness? That would be great. You can have some logos and icons and stuff. I'd love it.
What do you want first? Shout outs or
you call it. How ready are you for the thing?
Let's just get the spiel out of the way. You know how I am with the spiel.
You should do it.
AvsHockeyPodcast.com is your home for almost everything Avalanche that we decide to talk about.
You're home for stuff we decide to talk about.
You're home for almost everything that happens.
That matters to us.
There is, look, I'm not going to lie to you. If you didn't click on the post for episode 125, then you missed Super Dave Osborne playing a piano. Then you're absolutely missing out. This time, we're actually going to have something we talked about as well that happened in hockey. There will be the Scott Parker versus George Parros fight.
Yes,
glove toss. So, you know, you have to click to find that out. You can see a picture of my old iPod on there in the header. And you can, of course, find all the links to things like Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all that stuff. Don't forget to check out the goal pucks that Jay has posted up there from Conference Shorthanded Goals. And also, what was the other one that you did? Oh, yeah, Nathan McKinnon in Montreal.
I need to do another one soon.
Oh, do one.
Yes.
So I will keep an eye on that. That's pretty much the spiel. You can't find me anywhere.
Nope.
I'm antisocial.
Unless you have the Zoom link.
Yep. And yep. Jay is at Avs Podcast, wherever you find fine social media products.
Is that a thing?
Everywhere.
I forgot to, we were talking about, you just, I was thinking, which is rare. Ryan O'Reilly, the hat trick yesterday was, I mean, it was Ryan O'Reilly. He got mad, right? He had that one bad play and things like that.
Oh, it was a bad play.
Yeah, it was a bad play. And then he got mad and mad Ryan O'Reilly is good. Ryan O'Reilly. He totally turned things around. But how many times did Pierre McGuire call him a hockey player? Ryan O'Reilly here. Let me check my notes here. Hockey player.
Hey, he probably just didn't know where he was from, where he played his junior and exactly. All so, of that. He just didn't just have
gonna,
it top of mind.
Just going to default a hockey player on that one.
I'm pretty sure, just a non-Avs thing from that game. I'm pretty sure that that Pierre McGuire said they needed to fire the head coach.
Berube. Yeah.
It was something he said. It was like kind of like in the background. It was just like, they need to fire Greg Berube. It was like, what? Whoa, what just happened? Slow did he down. Actually just say that?
Yeah.
And then there was like the play-by-play guy talked for a while, which is that I'm going to cover while you get it back together, buddy.
Forslund put his hand over McGuire's mouth for a little bit.
Reached around the plexiglass divider and was like,
grab the mute button. No, stop. You're talking. You don't need to talk anymore.
I want to see Pierre McGuire and who is it? The play-by-play guy from Boston together. That would be absolutely hilarious.
I wouldn't even want to watch that. That's the thing. Like, it's, Because
Edwards, the other guy with Edwards, always tries to temper him, always tries to calm him down, be like, you know, Edwards would be like, that was the worst, most chicken, blah, blah. That guy is scum and should be taken out back and beaten. And the other guy's like,
anyway,
well, it looked like a little tough play over there, and he kind of looks at the sideline.
Stares at him. I'm sure they need a live.
Not helping me here. Yeah,
they need a live feed of them looking at each other, and so you can see.
I don't think they look at each other at all. I think the other guy's just like, I am not looking over there, and Jack Edwards is just fuming at the ice, just like
Edwards is ready to jump from the third level, out onto the ice. Yeah, I don't know. That just made me Pierre McGuire. What a
He's the guy you love to hate.
What a person, I guess. I was hoping he wouldn't say Mikko Rantanen yesterday, and then he did, and I was like, why is my volume up? And just
Rantanen. Oh,
Mikko Rantanen. It's like, dude, he doesn't even say it that way. Just anyway. Okay.
So just to transition here, he is obviously not in the shoutouts.
He's not.
Jay, tell me who is in.
He's
the
anti-shoutouts. Brandon McNicholas, the Avs media relations guy, getting all the good stats that makes us sound a little bit smarter when it comes to Avalanche hockey. Working overtime this year for all the good reasons. I wanted to give him a shout out. He is B McNick on Twitter. If you're not following him, follow him. He has all the good stats for you from Avs history. So if you're into that type of thing, please do. Team Avs podcast for Avs Twitter Psychic. Forgot to mention last show that we played two rounds during the Lake Tahoe game. Since there was a break. Gerard scored in the first period. So there was a whole thing. And then people were like, well, since they're not playing for another 8 hours, let's play another round. So we played two rounds in one game and that was too much fun. So
did anybody win both?
No, nobody won both.
But
yeah, very few people choose Gerard every game. So there's that. But I just thought it was fun. It was like, heck, why not? So I retweeted the people who got Gerard and then said, post another pick and we'll play again for the second 2/3 of the game. So that was fun. Let's see what else. The Avs are on fire with their picks at, 42 games in. We're a little bit further than that, obviously, right now, but they had 8 wins. So when the big club is hot with Avs Twitter Psychic, it always, gets people excited about it. They're doing a good job. I don't know whether they do homework and such, but they also got a shout out from the main NHL account, on April 9th, which was kind of cool. They retweeted the Avalanche's Avs Twitter Psychic, which was Nichushkin that game, and said, well done. So, yeah, 6.3 million followers on the main account. So those of you that play Twitter Psychic and have fun still, it's just fun to see it get noticed and appreciate your effort. It's the best game day tradition on Twitter.coms. That's what I think. And also a very heartfelt shout out to Daniel, who is at TopCheddar5 on Twitter. He went to the game at Pepsi Center, Ball Arena. I like saying ball. But seriously though, on April 2nd, he lost his dad just after Christmas. His dad was a huge Avalanche fan. He posted an Avs Twitter Psychic pick in honor of his dad. It was Tyson Jost. So I know he had a hard time getting through that game, and it was cool of him to. It was cool to reach out to him and just let him know that we were all thinking of him. So strength, peace, and love to you, Daniel, TopCheddar5. So right on. Twitter Psychic, bringing people together. That's what it's there for. So thanks to all of you that keep that going. And
there were a couple of people on, there was a thread on
Reddit.
Yeah. Asking about like what podcast should I listen to? And a couple of people mentioned us. I think it was Argos 101 and, oh my goodness.
What's the other one? I got it right here. Hang on.
Wheat BP.
But yeah, we want to give both of you a shout out.
I don't know what that means, and I don't think I want to know because
it's probably something family awesome. Show. It's probably something awesome.
They did mention that we both of them mentioned, yeah, these guys, we enjoy the show, but they don't record very often. You're right, we don't.
Yep.
Yeah. What are you gonna do?
Yeah, that's always been our brand.
Yep.
We do what we can.
Erraticness is our brand.
It sure is, and being distracted and such.
Yeah, but thank you for mentioning us. And yeah, you know, it's just thanks. We have fun doing the show, and we're glad that you enjoy it. So thank you both
for mentioning that. We appreciate your support. Yeah, thanks for that. Means a lot. That's why we do it. That's it. Do you have anything else, sir?
I got nothing.
I think
everything out.
We covered almost everything. Avalanche.
I got as much to say as I have hair, which is none. Just none.
And yeah, there we go. I have an iPad. Would you like to touch it?
Bink.
And a fist bump.
Virtual fist bump.
All right.
Because this is all Zoom.
It sure is. It's Zoom for now. When are you fully vaccinated? Soon?
In a couple weeks. I think 2 weeks away is my second shot. And then
2 weeks
and we'll see from there.
All right. Yep. We'll go from there. But we'll have burritos someday.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it already. All right. All right. Thanks, man. All right, for James St. Blake Grayling, I'm Jay Veen. Take care, go Avs, go, and we will talk to you next time on the Avs Hockey Podcast. See ya.
I'm going to be honest with you here. If it was down to it, the Avs hockey podcast were a money losing venture.
Mm-hmm.
Oh wait, it is. Jimmy the Squirrel would be gone. He'd be fucking gone. I'd sell.
Sorry, Jimmy.
Yeah, he's done. I mean, I need those acorns. I don't have time.
That's
for
right.
That. And also that leaf blower right to the pawn shop if I had to. I'm not going for that little squirrel and that leaf blower, especially when I don't
we're not storing your acorns.
I don't even have a porch. I don't have anything to blow the damn leaves off of,
but
it's gone.
Just in case.
It is gone.